From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. If you want to track us down on Twitter, do so at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can find us on the Facebook fan page, radio.com app. You can check that out as well, and you can also track us down over on the website, the old-fashioned way. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Let's talk some Packers football and the search for a head coach and what we witnessed this past weekend and how far away the Green Bay Packers really are. Let's bring in Paul Emick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emick, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline and brought to you our good friends over at Quick Trip, who have the Karuba Gold on sale today, a buck any size. Don't forget to stop into your local Quick Trip and use your Quick Rewards card. Paul, so the Packers seem as if Josh McDaniels is the target. I mean, I know that they still are casting a wide net, but it certainly seems if the crosshairs are pointed squarely on the play caller coming out of New England, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and I think most of us have assumed that that would be the case. You look at the list of names that have been interviewed, and one that opened up, you know, that since you and I have last talked on Friday, Bill, was Adam Gase,
right,
who I've kind of had my eyes on for a while, wondering if, when Gase's initial interviews were announced or reported, the Packers weren't on that list, and I was surprised. So once he was scheduled for an interview with the Packers, I think I kind of put him as sort of the close second or the 1B to Josh McDaniels 1A in terms of maybe a front runner for this job. Now, I would just remind people that, you know, the importance of Mark Murphy in this whole process, and that when you and I were talking about who the next GM of the Packers would be a year ago, I think you and I would have clearly put Brian Gutekunst as maybe third place, Bill?
Right.
Right?
Like, yeah.
I think most people just kind of reading the tea leaves and reading the room a little bit thought, you know, Russ Ball, Elliot Wolf, maybe to a lesser extent, Alonzo Highsmith and Brian Gutekunst. And sure enough, you know, maybe Mike McCarthy had something to do with that. You know, that was obviously a pretty strong sentiment that Mike McCarthy didn't want Russ Ball to be the GM. But whatever happened, Mark Murphy still chose and still put his faith in Brian Gutekunst. So just because Josh McDaniels and Adam Gase are maybe considered front runners or considered to be favorites for this job, it certainly doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. Now, if you read enough about Josh McDaniels, and Bill, I know you're a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong, you're a little bit on the anti-McDaniels train. Is that correct?
I'm a little bit, yeah, because some of the things that have came out about him after he left Denver, the way he took Indianapolis to the altar, he's been a good, or if not great, offensive coordinator. I just don't know if he has the chops to be a good head coach.
Yeah, and he didn't just walk away at the altar from Indianapolis. I mean, he annulled the marriage the next day, you know? Like, he really took the next step in that. And but, you know, I think if you're I'm not saying the Packers should overlook any of that, but I would have to assume that if they hire him, that McDaniels gave the right answer to those questions that I'm assuming Gutekunst and Murphy will have pressed him on in the interview. And, of course, if they end up doing a second interview or some sort of follow-up, I mean, these are the things that you're going to want to find out. And it's fascinating, too, to watch the Colts, Bill, who McDaniels spurned, and then they kind of settle on Frank Reich. And here we are in the divisional round of the playoffs, and Frank Reich has led this Colts team to a turnaround that I don't think anybody would have expected. All this to say, yes, I would agree that McDaniels, and then I would say to some lesser of extent, but not drastically lesser, Adam Gase kind of leading the search. But, you know, we don't know what these interviews were like. I mean, how much would people pay to be a fly on the wall of some of these lesser candidate interviews and to see if they said something that would have spiked the interest of of Mark Murphy or Brian Gutekunst, and I'm sure they're not interviewing these guys just to waste their own time.
Right.
They're doing it because I think they want to see what else is out there. But I do think it's fair to say, you know, if you want to start leaning somewhere, Josh McDaniel seems like a logical landing spot, I think, for what might end up happening here.
So the next question then becomes, if it is indeed Josh McDaniels. Now, originally the perspective was that Aaron Rodgers is sandbagging Mike McCarthy and he's problematic. See, I don't see it that way. I mean, as hard as I have been on Rodgers, it's been strictly the play and some of the backhanded comments to the media. It hasn't necessarily been where this guy's trying to lose or trying to tank. And I like the fact that he wanted to play the season out. I think he had to play the season out. I think just for appearance sake, his back was against the wall. This is a guy that takes a lot, hears a lot, knows a lot, reads a lot, and understands that the sentiment right now is that he wasn't great this past year, even though his numbers were pretty good. So can Josh McDaniels come in and then grab a hold of him? They get, as Aaron Rodgers has stated, he wants to be coached. Can he coach him in this offense to be better? Because we all know the train goes as the offense goes.
Yeah, I think there's enough to say that McDaniels would be enough of a personality to get through. When you're Rodgers and you're looking for somebody that you want to respect, you want to put your faith in that the last, you know, 5-6 years of your NFL career are going to be as successful as they can possibly be. And then you say, oh, you're the guy calling the plays for Tom Brady, the guy whose career I, Aaron Rodgers, would like to emulate. I think that's an instant win for hiring Josh McDaniels. I just think that that's going to resonate with Rodgers and resonate with, I mean, we talked a lot this year about the wide receiver group for the Packers and that, you know, Davante Adams, I believe, clearly emerged as a top five NFL wide receiver, but then there was a lot of questions after him. You know, Jimmy Graham as a tight end pass catcher certainly underperformed expectations. Randall Cobb was injured and didn't perform to expectations. And then you had basically a bunch of rookies, especially after Geronimo Allison had his injury. And you say, well, you know, there's maybe just not a lot of talent to work with there. Well, with the exception of Gronkowski, there's been a lot of years where you look at Tom Brady's throwing targets and you say, oh, that's what they're getting the job done with?
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that there's enough evidence there that if you go from being the guy that was calling plays and working directly with Tom Brady, and now you're going directly to work with Aaron Rodgers, I can't imagine there would be a more smooth transition in terms of respect. And I think that's what you need to find. You need to find an authority figure type that you're not going to have to, like, convince Aaron to kind of buy into your system, but that Aaron just inherently knows what you are doing obviously works year after year after year after year after year after year in New England works. No matter who comes and goes, it's Tom Brady. And then, you know, because Rodgers made that comment, Bill, after the end of this regular season saying, or maybe the second last game of the regular season, how, you know, Rodgers keeps aging and the receivers keep getting younger, staying the same age because there's always a new influx of guys. Well, imagine if you're, Tom Brady's 41 now? I mean, imagine if you're 6 years older than Rodgers is now. Who's the guy that's helped make that transition every year so smooth? And I think a lot of that credit goes to McDaniels, and I would assume that's something that would resonate pretty easily with Rodgers.
The biggest question then, if it is indeed McDaniels, staff-wise, what's he going to do? I mean, you know, does Mike Pettine stay on? Is he a part of the deal? Is there some other, you know, what's going to be the quarterback's coach? Is there a, you know, now that Van Pelt is again looking for work, is he a guy that comes back and maybe try to put part of that band back together, a confidant? But then again, if you're Daniel McDaniels, do you look at him and say, well, this is a guy that sides with Aaron Rodgers. So if we butt heads, I got to go against two of them, not just one. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider after the hire that are going to also impact this team.
Yeah. What year was it that McDaniels took the Denver job? Was that 2007, 2008, 2009? I'm trying to dial back into my brain about a decade or so ago. I'm sure you could probably look it up real quickly, but you know, it's been a decade, give or take, since McDaniels has put an entire staff together. At the time, he was in his early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's in his early 40s. I think he's 42 years old. McDaniels is now,
2009, by the way, 2009.
Perfect. So exactly 10 years ago. So
yeah.
He took over that job at age 32, which is just insane. The Sean McVay of the 2000 and, you know, of the early 2000s. In terms of getting a job so young, and it didn't work out, Bill. And that's obviously why it took until, you know, the Indianapolis offer last year for, I'm sure, McDaniels to want to feel secure and want to feel like I can do this. I was maybe too young. I learned some things. I went back to New England. I got comfortable again, and I'm sure all those things are beneficial. And plus, you meet more people along the way. I'm sure Josh McDaniels knows more high-level coaches and has ins with these guys more than he did 10 years ago when you're trying to put together a staff. What that means for Mike Pettine staying on board, what it would mean for, like you had referenced, maybe an Alex Van Pelt return, which to your point, I would agree with your thought process. That would seem maybe counterintuitive in terms of not wanting to bring – I think this is a fresh start situation, offensively speaking. If the Packers were to retain Pettine and retain Joe Witt Jr. for their secondary and retain some of these other assistants that I think do a pretty darn good job with what in recent years has not been a great amount of talent, you know, I think defensively there's something that you can build on. Offensively, in terms of like a Van Pelt or any of these other assistants, I think that's a fresh start situation, and I'm assuming McDaniels, as an offensive guy himself, wouldn't mind maybe having a few leftover pieces from this Packers defensive staff, but I'm sure he's going to clean house offensively and bring in his own guys because that's obviously the side of the ball that he specializes in.
Right. Yeah, good stuff, Paul. I tell you what, we're going to talk with Mike coming up, but you're just starting to read again all the stuff with McDaniels. Don't forget, he had the Jay Cutler controversy where Cutler wanted out because he didn't trust him. He thought he was backstabbing him. They started off with six straight wins and they ended up losing four. They benched Brandon Marshall. Marshall said McDaniels was an idiot and needed to get away from there. The second season, they were 3-9 record. The Broncos lost to Kansas City. And then the next day, McDaniels was fired by the Broncos. And he had all these nasty things to say. Players inside the locker room were ripping him. He had the Wembley Stadium videotaping scandal. There was some things that just – it never sat right that this guy was just a guy that had it all under control. It seemed like he was just kind of a mess.
Yeah, you know, Bill, there are some red flags and some things that we know more about him than what we know about some of these guys because he's been in the spotlight longer, not just as a head coach, but because he's a New England assistant. It doesn't get more high profile than that. So I guess, Bill, I would ask you, knowing, like, let's say it was this list of 9-10 guys that are of the list, where do you, like, you know, I know you're not sitting in these interviews and you're not the one conducting and asking the questions, but McDaniels has the red, there's no question about it. He has some cautions that you need to look out for. So who are you going with today if you had to make a choice? So
that's just it. I have the list of the guys I don't want as opposed to the guys I do. You know, sure. It's really weird because normally I've got a front runner and I don't. I remember going back to when McDaniels went to St. Louis and they had to be very specific to say this guy has no opportunities and no work in any player personnel decisions. We will not take his advice. That's scary to me. Remember, that was what was that? Steve Spagnuolo was the guy that said that? You know, I mean, that kind of stuff, that kind of track record stuff, that sticks with you, man. That bothers me when bringing a guy like that. It seems like there's a lot of ego there for a guy that wants to be the head coach and wants to be the man in charge, but he hasn't got the chops yet. So you don't have time to learn or screw around with it. If you're going to make Green Bay a learning ground to give him 3, 4, 5 years, you're basically wasting them if he's a waste product when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. And that's what scares me.
It is. It has the most cautions, I think, of any coach out there. But again, we don't know that, like, you know, Pete Carmichael or Matt LaFleur out of Tennessee, like, those guys just haven't been in the public eye enough for us to know some of these things.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like, you know, I think, Bill, it's going to be, if anything sealed it for me as I thought about it, it was the piece about the respect factor that I think Rodgers would have for a guy that's helped Tom Brady play into his 40s and always find a way to get the offense going despite who the receivers are. So, yeah, needless to say, Murphy and Gutekunst have a heck of a challenge in front of them to not waste these last 5 years of Rodgers' career.
Paul, good stuff. We'll chat again later in a week, okay?
Yeah,
talk to you later, pal. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Up next, Mike Clements, our NFL insider, Green and Gold insider. He'll join us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.